Good morning, friends. Grace and peace and all compassion to you. My name is McKinley Sims, and I am honored to be speaking to you this morning. Terrified, but honored. As you may know, I grew up in a couple of small towns in West Texas before eventually finding my way to the city of brotherly love and here to this church. With that in mind, I will try to turn my accent on as low as possible, but please forgive me if a random vowel gets a little bit too elongated for your comfort. Speaking in public always makes the twang come out a little bit thicker. So now, if you were feeling at this moment that you showed up this morning expecting to see the varsity play, and now you're looking at the JV preacher, your assessment is not too far off. But I will ask you to extend some love and compassion towards me for the next quarter of an hour, to love me through my suffering of nervously talking in front of all of you here, and I believe that we will get through this together. And if not, at least show yourself some compassion and enjoy the next 15 minutes of daydreaming free of charge. Now, one thing you need to know about me is that I love to read. And if you're like that, you are well aware that one of my favorite books was recently made into a very good movie. It's your typical sci-fi post-apocalyptic story about a group of young people in what looks to be America fighting against the cruel central government. This book series is, of course, The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. In The Hunger Games, the government of America, or Panem, is starving its own population and making the children of its citizens fight to the death in gladiatorial-like competition every year as penance for a civil war. These Hunger Games, as they're called, serve to enslave the citizens of Panem to the greedy whim of the capital. In this world, people live together in isolated areas and never leave their home districts, but they're not a community in any real sense. There's very little friendship, love, or compassion. But there is great suffering, and people can only look after themselves to survive. They're distrustful, wary, selfish, and above all, hungry. It's a world that has a few parallels to our own. There's massive inequality between the poor districts and the wealthy capital. There's media bias. There's a glorification of violence in a type of sport. There's questions of privacy and surveillance. There are even cheesy late-night talk shows. But the key thing to focus on, though, is the hunger. The people in this story have hunger in their bodies and their souls. And we see the story from the perspective of a young woman named Katniss Everdeen. And her troubled mind illustrates how she sees the bleak world around her. She's grown up in a survival of the selfish. She doesn't trust anyone. Indeed, Katniss seems capable of loving no one except her younger sister. Everyone else is a potential threat or a potential tool. Acts of kindness are non-existent in her life. She is but a shell of a soul, and love and compassion are the farthest thing from her mind as the next round of Hunger Games approaches. All anyone can think about is trying to survive, wondering who will get picked to go and die in the arena. Katniss worries and hungers for food to feed herself and her loved ones, for another year of safety, for someone else to be picked for the games. But I think it is clear that her broken spirit hungers for something else as well. So if you've seen the movie or read the books, you know what happens on the day of the reaping, when two children from each district are chosen to participate and die in the games. Katniss's young sister is selected against all odds. And the cruelty of the Hunger Games makes you sick. In a just world, no one would have to go through this. But this Panem is not a just world. And more disturbingly, there's an embarrassed sense of relief among everyone not selected. And I can't blame them. I can sympathize with that feeling of relief and not getting picked for something hard. I still remember the horror of waiting for a teacher to call someone up to the board and solve an algebra problem, or sheer terror of having to read out loud from the book, or answer the homework question that I forgot to do, or deliver a sermon in front of hundreds of people. You're sitting there holding your breath, praying to any of those six sources of inspiration that we recognize that they'll pass you by. And they do. And some other person has to take the punishment. And I what do I say to myself? I say, God, I'm glad that's not me. And can we blame them? Would I be able to live out the seven principles if my world identically mirrored that of Panem? I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I think there's definitely a little Katniss Everdeen in me. I'm happy to help and heal and show compassion when I have everything I need, when I have pumpkin pancakes waiting for me at the apartment. Compassion is a priority for me when I don't have to worry about where my next meal will come from. I can't imagine waiting to be picked to go into the arena. So Katniss's younger sister is selected, and we wonder, will the hardened and untrusting Katniss Everdeen save herself by allowing her sister to be taken? Of course not. Katniss trades places with her sister, and people are shocked because this never happens. No one ever goes out on a limb for another person, especially not Katniss Everdeen. But Katniss puts compassion and sacrifice in clear view of all her neighbors and the folks around the country who are watching on Pan Am CCTV. It's an incredibly moving scene, and the crowd responds in a silent salute to Katniss's love. They're witnesses to the first act of compassion in the Hunger Games. The young man also chosen to join Katniss in the arena is the baker's boy, Peeta. There's a lot of complicated backstory here, but the most important fact that you need to know is that these two have met in the past. When Katniss had given up all hope and resigned to starving to death, her hunger had finally won out, and her body was as malnourished as her soul. But in that darkest moment, Peeta secretly finds a way to deliver a gift of bread and hope. Like Jesus feeding the 5,000 in the Gospel of Matthew reading for today, Peeta saves Katniss from starvation, even though healing her suffering puts him at risk. Because of this small act of compassion, Katniss slowly begins to acknowledge how important the boy with the bread was to saving her life, even though he's now a competitor in the deadly arena. Her heart softens just a little bit in the face of this gift, this small act of justice in her bleak, bleak world. It's sweet and it's moving, and we witness the second act of compassion in the Hunger Games. And now we fast forward through the action-packed sequences of the arena where nightmares become reality. Katniss wants to show the cameras of Pan Am exactly what the capital has sought to erase from their memory. Loving care for the suffering of others. And in the ultimate display of this defiance, surrounded by violence, Katniss buries a fellow competitor after adorning the body in flowers, braiding the girl's hair, cleaning her face, and singing a lullaby. It is absolutely heartbreaking to read or to watch, and it is the antithesis of everything the Hunger Games are meant to glorify, everything they're meant to hide from public view. And if the people of Pan Am watching were hungering for some kind of good news in the midst of such an atrocity, they find it in this tribute. Katniss shows them what true compassion looks like, and in doing so, she feeds their souls, even when she can't feed their bodies. And the whole nation witnesses the third act of compassion in the Hunger Games, and it changes everything. It ignites a revolution. The details of said revolution are too numerous to go into here, but remember that this book seems to scream about violence and hatred. In a bleak, bleak world, there's no beauty, no art, no faith. Indeed, the Spirit of God is never mentioned, much less seemingly at work in this chaos. The world seems hopeless. But underneath all that noise is the power small acts of kindness have to feed bodies and to heal souls. Katniss's humanity, in the most inhuman of circumstances, ignites a revolution towards justice. It's a creative revolution. I say that because I believe that she ends the Hunger Games and creates the Compassion Games. through a few acts of loving spirit, the unjust world of the capital begins to crumble. And I can only speak for myself, but I would call this radical transformation from Hunger Games to the Compassion Games a miracle. But so what? How does this inform us about our world? People are hungry physically, and people are hungry spiritually. Where is the Spirit of God? Where is our miraculous act? Wouldn't it be great if we had something like the Compassion Games? If acts of love were displayed on every TV screen for the entire nation to see? If the cool kids in school were the ones that go out of their way to help everyone else? If you got paid according to how much love ye pour out? If only there was a way to incentivize people to perform random acts of kindness for strangers, deliberate acts of love for the needy, and revolutionary acts of positive peer pressure that could ignite a wildfire of creativity and social justice. Wouldn't that be a world that you'd want to live in? A world where the Compassion Games dominated all the other negative influences around us? Enter Karen Armstrong, a modern-day Katniss Everdeen, author of the best-selling A History of God, among other fantastic reads. She's also the author of The Charter for Compassion, that we learned about last week in Kent's sermon, designed to spread compassion and love globally. Created in 2008, formalized in 2009, branded into a nonprofit in 2010, and this is the coolest part, formalized into an actual series of annual events in 2012. Friends, the Compassion Games are a real thing. www.compassiongames.org, the survival of the kindest. With a mission to empower communities to care for each other, the earth, and ourselves, to create a fun and engaging experience for participants, and to spread the concept of compassion globally. You can literally go online, sign up a team, and participate in random acts of kindness, various service projects. You can play a game called Drive with Compassion, which I have already implemented in my own life, and it really helps, especially in Philadelphia. You can even sign up to be an official secret agent of compassion, which is awesome. I've wanted to be a secret agent for my entire life, and now I can be. How awesome is that? Entire cities across the nation hold week-long competitions in September every year, and they reward teams for who can do the most kind things, complete the most projects, serve the most people. Coming up this very week, there's another round of Compassion Games, specifically for educators and schools, but I think anyone can actually sign up. Starting October 15th, running for 11 days, you can sign up to be a participant in the Compassion Games. Kids, if you're still here, sign up your parents. Parents, sign up your kids. Teachers, sign up your spouses, your significant others. Sign up your pets, sign up your church, sign up your neighbors. Sign up random people on the street. We can all participate, and we can all benefit. I don't know about you, but I've never had the thought, you know what this world needs less of? Awesomeness. This movement is truly awesome, and it is exactly what this world needs. I have a little Katniss Everdeen in me. I need compassion. You may have a little Katniss Everdeen in you. You need compassion. We are a world of Katniss Everdeens. We need compassion. Granted, going out and raking leaves for your neighbors, driving more kindly, putting coins in expired parking meters, offering hot meals to homeless friends, they will not solve all the world's problems. It's easy to stare at the capital and wonder how we can possibly tackle such an imposing reality, a capital of inequality and racism and sexism and apathy. And it's easy to feel like our small acts cannot bring down the unjust Hunger Games of our own world. And they can't. Not by themselves, and not all at once. But one small act can make a difference. It can solve one person's problems. It can heal a few people's suffering, at least for one day. It can create a few witnesses to the power of true compassion. and it will start a movement. I promise you that. The living proof is CompassionGames.org. I encourage you to check it out. Incidentally, if you're looking for more compassion in action in your life, if you need other opportunities, get in contact with USG's Social Action Coordinator here. That is someone named McKinley. Oh, that's me. If you're looking for social justice opportunities, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. We need all the compassion we can get. To wrap up, I believe that the story of the Hunger Games does more than point out some of the problems that exist both in Pan Am and in modern day America. I think it provides a formula, not unlike the ones I used to be terrified to try and solve. I think the message is not just that compassion is good, it's good for the soul, it's a good thing to practice. I think the message is more than that compassion is revolutionary and transformative. I believe the message is that compassion is absolutely necessary if we want our world to reflect our seven principles. If we want a world where everyone is valued and respected, where everyone has a voice, a world that is caring and just, where we're all free to seek the truth, then we must practice compassion. We must work to prevent and eliminate suffering. That is the prerequisite for a world that I want to live in. Without compassion, there can be no revolution. There can be no justice. Without practicing compassion, we will remain hungry. Compassion is the beginning. In a world that hungers for goodness and love and craves the Spirit of God to hover over the broken planet and breathe compassion into our spirits, this is good news. This is a small miracle. This can be the beginning of a revolution, and we can help it grow. So let us be fierce participants in the Compassion Games, regardless of how bleak the arena gets. Let us serve others in love. Let us give what we can when we can. Let us commit random acts of kindness and intentional acts of charity. And let us be fed by the Spirit so that we may feed others in turn. Blessings be. Amen.